Well, before we pray, let's look into the scriptures together. We're looking at a verse that's going to get us started on a little pursuit through the scripture. Our verse is found in Psalm 119, and it's verse 25. Now, what this verse is a place that we've been before. So this will be review, but it's all going to be on the test. So you're going to need this because we're always tested on these things, aren't we? And then from this we'll spring off and go other places. But the psalmist here makes this wonderful statement in verse 25 of Psalm 119. He says, "My soul cleaves." Well, the first part of the statement is pretty rough. "My soul cleaves to the dust." And then he says, "Revive me according to your word." Now, of course, I couldn't help but think it's not been that long since we've been in the early chapters of Genesis, and how God takes dust and makes man. And so we realize that we have a lot in common with this old earth. It's the sort of thing that God formed and fashioned and breathed life into it, and out comes a living soul, a living man. But then you keep hearing references to something like this: "My soul cleaves to the dust." It's almost like he's saying, "I'm reverting back to what I once was. I feel so earthly. I seem so low." I know that dust can get airborne, but typically it's just the kind of thing that's on our feet. And when the psalmist says, "My soul cleaves to that," what's he saying? I mean, we know it in our hearts, don't we? He's saying, "I feel so earthly. I feel so overcome by earthliness and the things that are of this earth, and I may start to look just like a man of the earth." Well, thank God for, number one, there's a fellow that's honest. And we can identify with honest people in the scripture because we meet ourselves there so many a time. This is something that he is saying really off and on for all the people of God. We have high days and low days, great days and bad ones, light days and dark days. And there are times when our soul just cleaves to dustiness and resembles something from West Texas. We can thank God for that. We can also thank God that he doesn't stop there and that he holds out, as he praises God in this verse, he's holding out his solution and ours. "Revive me," he says. It's almost like God breathing in the breath of life again, isn't it? Here's a pile of dust. Would you breathe into it yet again? Would you make this dust live again? "Revive me." And then he says, this is his conviction of how that's going to happen in his experience. He says, "Revive me according to your word." Now, let's just track that thought in a few places in the scripture. If you want to just write these down, I can read them to you. We're running a little short on time, but if you'd like to go there, that's fine too. The first place is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 47. This is some of the farewell address of Moses to his compatriots. And he's not going to get to go over the Jordan, you know, the people are, but he's going to stay on this side, literally this side. We are on the eastern side. If you go far enough, we're in the eastern side of the Jordan. And he's going to go up Mount Nebo and see it and then go to be with God. Bless his soul. But before he goes, he's addressing his people, and he's saying, "Now this word that I've given to you," and the verse is chapter 32 of Deuteronomy and verse 47, and he says this: "This is not an idle word." And you know how inundated our society is at the moment with idle words. You know, you get the newspaper, you get the news feed, and however it comes to you, You just have to kind of go through, yeah, what's the, nope, 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 nope. You guys do this? You know, this is empty, that's vain, this is wrong, this is an error. And it's just so much empty words. There's so many words in our day. We have before us, and you have in your lap, something that is not that. This is not an idle word. Moses says, it's not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. It is your life. And by this word, now listen, before I continue reading, let me ask you a question. If I could tell you how you might live longer, would that interest you? I've got the prescription for a long life. What would you think? Would that be a bestseller? Would it hit the New York Times bestsellers list? You know, I mean, diet books, self-help books, they're bestsellers usually. But there's a prescription here in this verse that says this is how you can prolong your life. How? By this word, you will prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. What's he saying? There's life in this. It's not idle, it's active. It's not static, it's vibrant, it's alive. Because in this book is the very breath of God, its author, and he speaks continually through it. He blesses his people, and as his people bend their ear to listen, they hear the speaking voice of God, and as he speaks, their hearts live. I think sometimes of dear old Elizabeth there, and she's, I don't know, 8.5 months pregnant, however. No, she's 6 months pregnant by this point. How far out is she? About to hear? Is that about right? And in walks Mary, our Lord's mother. And what does John in the womb do? He leaps within her, and she cries out as she herself is filled with the Spirit, as is John. Blessed is she, and you know the story. But this is so oftentimes reminiscent, or at least a picture of the experience of God's people when the Word of God comes to them. And something inside you leaps. There is some kind of response within you. There is this joyful, glad recognition of the presence of the Lord. And it does something to you that is life-giving. And so this guy says, David says, I am so dusty. Revive me according to your word. Well, look on over a number of books and pages over, we come to the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. And this will be on the test as well. It says in the 29th verse of Jeremiah 23, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock?" Now, on one hand, you've got your spirit leaping within you. On the other hand, you've got something being broken, something being burned up. And what is he saying here? This isn't that section where he is challenging these people in Jerusalem who are saying, I'm a prophet. I've got the word of God. And the Lord says, well, let them go ahead and prophesy. Let's see what happens. Well, let me tell you this. When my word comes, it's like this. It's like fire. What does fire do? It burns. It cleanses. It purifies the forest floor. It eliminates so much underbrush. It refines. It warms. Oh, how it warms. We were glad about a month and a half ago that we put a fireplace in our living room. It's where we lived for about a week, you know. Warmth. I've seen the fire. But he says, my word is like this. The heat of God's judgment moving against error. Something is being dealt with. Something is being burned off in my spirit. And oftentimes, those are the things that have clouded me and made me dusty. Something has come across my heart, my mind, my spirit. I've given place to it. It needs to be dealt with. And God's word can come in like a fire or like a hammer. Which, what do hammers do? Well, they shatter a rock. And sometimes our hearts are as hard as stone, right? And there is no situation too difficult for the Lord. There is no heart too hard. Did I say that right? There is no heart too hard for his word to deal with. Now, all we could do is just say, oh God, touch this man, touch this man, touch this man. And eventually, and I'm thinking of something specific, that man was on the road to Damascus. And God spoke to him and broke that self-righteousness off of that Pharisee until the Pharisee said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And I want you to go on into Damascus and I'll show you. The word of God comes to Saul of Tarsus and breaks the hardness there. And what comes out is Paul, the beloved apostle. Oh, listen, there's always hope for you and for me that we can change, and it's right in your lap. That good book will change you. It will deal with things in our lives. Romans 10, we'll try to do this in order. Romans 10 is next. Verse 17. In verse 16, before it, in Romans 10, Paul asked the question, they did not all believe, or they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then he says, here's an answer. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so this the word, revive me according to your word. Your word speaks to me. It presents to me the Lord Jesus in his glory, in his majesty, in his power, in his absolute dominion. All authority has been given to him. He stands as my guarantee and as yours, our surety. He's there at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And when I start seeing that by the glory of the scriptures, my faith starts to rise. Doesn't yours? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ. And so, Lord, revive me. Oh, I feel so unbelieving. I feel so dead. Get yourself into the scriptures. I'll hear the Spirit of God saying, and he'll be saying to me, your answer's there. Now, one of the fascinating things about this, you read enough stories of famous Christians, and they'll be saying things like, well, this verse spoke to me, or that verse touched me, or this is what God did for me with that verse. And you'll look at that verse and you'll say, I just don't see it. What's there? And it meant the world to them. It meant eternity to them. God used it. He spoke. Just a single verse can change the course of nations. And so it was with Martin Luther. And actually changed not just the course of nations, but all of Western civilization and history was changed because the just shall live by faith. Where do you get such good things? They're in the scripture, aren't they? Oh, lastly, Hebrews 4:12. You know this verse, don't you? The word of God is living. And here's this thought again. It is alive. There's this breath in it. There's this presence in it. There is this speaking voice in it. The word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. And then listen to this. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. And as I read this verse, I think the man agrees with me. That's a little joke. But that there is a distinction between the soul and the spirit. And how close are the soul and the spirit? Well, let me ask you this. How close is the joint to the marrow? It's absolutely right there all together, isn't it? But a good surgeon can separate the two. And our Heavenly Father, as he speaks to us by his Spirit and in his word, can separate the soul from the spirit. The point being that those things need to be revealed to us. We think everything's spiritual. and thinks, no, it's not all spiritual. Some of it's soulish. Anointings can be soulish. Sermons can be soulish. Emotions can be soulish, meaning that they're just effervescent and emotional and part of maybe our personality, but they may not necessarily be truly of the Spirit of God. Well, how in the world are we to discern the difference? The Word of God, like a two-edged sword, sharper than that. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. And it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And that's the essence of it right there. But I admit, this is, like my dad would say, we're skipping through the dew. This is just review of things that you know. But maybe it will encourage you, as it must have encouraged David back in Psalm 119, that I'm as dead as a hammer. Well, no, dead as a doornail. No, deader than that. I'm as dead as the dust. Well, God can breathe life into that again. And, oh, may He bless us as we seek Him in the Word. All right, let's pray.